listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 says, when an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through the air in arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house or the vessel that I left. When it arrives, it finds that house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Someone say order. Then it'll go and take seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And it will go and live there. And the final condition of the person is worse than it originally was. This is how it will be for a wicked generation. The title of this message tonight is The Graveyard Shift, Part 2, Creeping Things. Let's pray. So, Father, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit is here. Father, I pray right now for hearts to receive, God. I pray for ears to hear, minds to understand what your spirit is saying through the word. Father, we declare that your word is the highest authority in our lives. I declare that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Jesus, we declare that there is one God, it's you. We declare that you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we declare that your name is the highest authority. So Jesus, we declare, take over this place. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. We declare, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. We love you in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Come on, you're too quiet tonight in this sanctuary. Let's fill this sanctuary with noise. Say amen. Amen. And amen. The graveyard shift. If you don't know the story of the graveyard shift, in London, England, in the 1600s, they ran out of room to bury the dead. This is a true story. You can go Google it. And what they did, there's so much death and disease and famine that they ran out of places to bury people. It's just a small little wet island over there. And so what they did is they exhumed the coffins out of the graves, and they took the bones from the coffins and they put them in bone houses. But what they found was is that in the coffins, there were scratch marks on the inside of one of every five coffins. See, because they didn't have the technology at the time when people were in drug-induced or alcohol-induced comas, they didn't realize if they were in comas or a comatose state or if they were really dead. So they accidentally buried thousands of people alive. So to prevent this from happening again, they tied a string through the grave on the wrist of the corpse up through the ground, and they put these bells on top of the graves. And they would have someone stand in the graveyard every single night and listen for the bells to ring. They called it the graveyard shift. Last year, we talked about a generation that appears to be dead, but it's really alive. Last year, we saw over 300 young people give their lives to the Lord. And that building over there, we ran out of room. And we called the generation that was dead, that was the walking dead, back to life. Here's the thing, though, is that as soon as you give your life to the Lord, sometimes we paint this picture that it's going to be this really, really easy road. We paint this ideal that you come to Jesus, and then all of a sudden, your parents get back together. All of a sudden, you don't have temptations. All of a sudden, that desire to go back to the world, that desire to please friends, that desires to attract someone's attention, all of a sudden goes away. But the truth of the matter is it doesn't go away. So now a generation is faced with another decision, is how do I begin to engage? How do I begin to follow Jesus successfully? Because I really do love God. But the problem is these things keep on creeping back into my life. We have a scripture in Romans chapter 1, verse 22. We'll jump ahead to verse 22, guys. And it says this, claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling a mortal man, birds and animals, or creeping things. Someone say creeping things. In the book of Romans, they're talking about a time where the Israelites had come out of Egypt, and now they're in the desert, and God delivered them from the promised land, but they were in the desert of Egypt. They were in bondage of Egypt for so long. And in Egypt, if you know anything about the Egyptian culture, they worshiped everything. They worshiped anything. They worshiped plants. They worshiped the sun. They worshiped all these things, including creeping things. And they made for themselves images. That's why the Lord was so intense in the wilderness. This is why in the book of Leviticus, he gives us these orders. He gives us the Ten Commandments. And three of the Ten Commandments are about not worshiping other things. And one of them was, don't make for yourself an image. Don't make for yourself a god. Don't worship these creeping things. It's amazing because I personally believe that the enemy doesn't care what you're bound with as long as you're bound. You know, in church today, we categorize sins. We categorize things and we try to make some things worse than others. And let me tell you, all sin is going to separate you from God. Nothing will separate you from the love of God, but you can't live a lifestyle of sin and live in relationship with God. You say, well, Pastor Landon, I read on Facebook that nothing will separate me from the love of God. Well, that's true. Nothing will separate you from his love, but you weren't in relationship before him, were you? He loves you. Romans says, why you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. We've made this whole thing about how, does God love you or not? Of course God loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. The flesh was ripped from Jesus' body. He was hung between, suspended between heaven and earth, a crown of thorns. He died a brutal death because he loved you. The question isn't, does Jesus love you? The question is, do you love him? Jesus proved his love for you on the cross. You prove your love for him by obedience. See, this generation doesn't understand love. We think love is a feeling. So when we feel like we love someone, we give our bodies to them. When we feel like we love someone, we give ourselves away to them. When we feel like we love something, we have all these feelings, and I love Chick-fil-A. I get this ooey-gooey feeling, except on Sunday when it's closed. Come on, don't lie. How many have gone to the drive-thru of Chick-fil-A on Sunday? And you're like, no one's there, sweet. And you pull up and you're like, no. You're like, Jesus. And they're like, oh, we're not open because we love Jesus too. So you love it and hate it all at the same time. But tell me, you can't love a stinking chicken sandwich and love Jesus and use the same word to describe the affection for a chicken sandwich and your Lord. Or your cheesy boyfriend or girlfriend that you just got 2 weeks ago. We just love each other. Where'd you meet? Facebook. Actually, we haven't met yet. We're just Facebook friends, but we're in love. Come on, somebody. Of course he loves you. Look at your profile picture. It's winter and you're still in a bikini. Come on, you know what the tagline says, child of God, but the picture says fornicate here? Come on, you ain't, come on, come on. Child of God. We're using the same word love to describe Jesus as we are Forever 21. Or a rated R movie that you shouldn't have been watching in the first place. You see the problem here. And so we're led by our emotions. We're led by our feelings. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that when Jesus did not feel like dying on the cross, he chose to love us and do it anyways. For some reason, we feel like love is something that we always feel like doing. No, it's usually lust when you feel like doing it. It's usually love when it's hard to do. I don't tithe because I feel like it. I tithe because I love God and I obey God. I'm not holding on to my purity because I feel like it. Because how many don't feel like it majority of the time? But I fight for purity because I love Jesus. Because I'm so thankful for his grace. And his grace empowers me. Just like Eric talked about earlier, that I'm not leaning on other things, but I'm just leaning on his amazing grace that will sustain me through whatever temptation and trial I'm going through. See, so many times what we do is we allow the creeping things to begin to creep back in our lives. We let down our guard. We think it's going to be easy. I mean, you need to understand, I truly believe with all of my heart that Satan doesn't care what you're tempted with. He doesn't care what you're bound with as long as you remain bound. I don't think he cares if you struggle with heterosexual sin or pornography or same-sex attractions or a drug. As long as he can keep you bound, as long as he can keep you addiction, as long as he can keep you away from this altar. Because it happens to everybody. You experience God's love. You experience God's grace. And then you make a mistake because you're perfect, right? Because all of a sudden you go to tribe one time and you don't make mistakes. All of a sudden you go to tribe one time and your mouth's in control, right? No. We're all working out our own salvation. We're all struggling. But the thing is it has to be a fight where you say, I'm going to serve God no matter what. No matter what I'm struggling with. No matter what I'm tempted with. See, the Bible says that they were worshiping creeping things. Isn't it interesting? The things that slithered is what they were worshiping, because that is the image of Satan. The Bible says in Genesis that Satan was cursed to his belly, and God said, you're going to slither the rest of your life, because nothing pleases the devil more than getting you to worship something that looks like him when you look like God. Why do you think the enemy's after your identity so much? Why do you think the enemy's trying to confuse this generation that you don't know your sexual identity? You don't know your gender. Now, I just had someone from the University of Arizona campus message me on Facebook, and they said, Pastor Landon, you're not going to believe this, but our professor is asking us to announce our own gender identity. It's a few miles away, right here in your city. This is now common. This is now normal when it's not sane. Because the Bible says that when you begin to worship these creeping things, when you allow the things of the world to creep in, when you allow the confusion of the world to creep back in, all of a sudden, the things that were once made sense, all of a sudden the lines are blurred between right and wrong and wrong and right. Now that we have pansexuality, like we need one more option. People attracted to robots, attracted to furry things. Come on, somebody. Stuffed animals, whatever it is. There's going to be something new over and over. It's going to continue to increase. Why? Because the Bible says that the enemy is the author of confusion. Watch, and we've allowed him to creep back in our generation. We've allowed him to confuse this generation. Why the world has remained silent with what the truth is. Every single day when I take my daughter to school, we put on the full armor of God together every day. She would have loved Pastor Jan's sermon this morning because she would have been repeating after her all the scriptures because we say them every day. And every single day we put on the belt of truth and we declare that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life and that no one goes to the Father but through him. Listen, we have got to start declaring the truth in our generation. Satan is at joy watching them worship things that look like him. Let's go back to Matthew 12, verse 43. Look at the word says. It says, when an impure spirit, someone say impure. When an unclean spirit comes out of a person, it goes through the arid places seeking rest, but it doesn't find any. That word unclean means impure, or that is, if you translate it in the Greek, it's talking about demons or bad fallen angels. These bad fallen angels, what they're trying to do, they're unclean spirits. They're foul spirits, and they're looking for somebody that they could afflict. They're looking for somebody, watch, that they would allow to stay near them. Are you talking about demon possession? No, I'm talking about demon friendship. Where impure things are allowed to come into your life. You say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean, Landon? I'm talking about the demons on your phone you call Netflix. I'm talking about the demons on your phone that you call Snapchat or Instagram that you allow back in, and it just kind of creeps. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. It kind of just creeps in, and you know, you conquered that pornography thing. You conquered that temptation at camp, but all of a sudden, you know, you fasted social media for a while, but all of a sudden it just starts creeping back in, and you weren't even following them. It just started following you. Come on, somebody. You say, I'm going to save myself, and I'm going to just dedicate this life, this season to the Lord. I'm going to go after God with everything I have. And all of a sudden, the person that never even noticed you, all of a sudden notices you. All of a sudden, they just start creeping back in. The Bible calls them unclean spirits. But here's the thing, young people, is that unclean spirits are attracted to unclean things. We have a house, and I had some food in a backpack, some last 25-year survival bars. So I had them in a backpack in my garage just in case of emergency. Thought it was a good idea. But there's a problem. It's having bars, protein bars, in a backpack in your garage attracted some little furry friends that I didn't want in my garage. And all of a sudden, I grab my backpack, and I'm cleaning out the garage, and I notice this gaping hole in my backpack. And all of a sudden, you could see junk everywhere, and we had mice, because watch, I left things around that I shouldn't have left around. See, when you allow friendships to be close that you shouldn't allow to be close, they start influencing, like you saw in the drama earlier, to go back to the things of the world. See, just because you come and give your life to the Lord or you say, I want to follow Jesus, does not mean that those temptations of the world never stop. And what you have to understand is just because you're tempted doesn't mean you're in sin or doesn't mean you need deliverance. What it means is you need to learn how to have boundaries around yourself. I hear it all the time. People message me on Facebook and say, Pastor Landon, I'm struggling with same-sex attraction. Does that mean I'm still bound? Does that mean I still need deliverance? Well, listen, when you ask Jesus in your life, you're delivered. The word salvation means deliverance. It's the same word. You're saved, set free at that moment. But then what you have to do is you have to choose not to let those things back in. That's when you begin to guard your eyes. That's when you begin to guard your ears. That's when you begin to guard relationships, the things that you're watching, the things that you have around you, because they have this amazing way just to creep in unnoticed. Come on, is anyone here today? The Bible says that Jesus was tempted, but he knew no sin. That means that you could be tempted with something and not be bound in sin. You have to realize that temptation is the enemy's invitation to go back to a past life. But that's the power of the Holy Spirit to be with you, to stand with you, to fight with you. The Bible says that when you're weak, he's strong. So many people think, I can't make it. I can't do it, Pastor Landon. I give in over and over. You need to understand that that is the time where you allow the Holy Spirit to fight for you, because impure lives attract impure spirits, and these things love to creep back in. Says this, that when a spirit is casted out, watch what the Word of God says. Matthew 12:44. It says, I will return to the house or the vessel. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept and clean, put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other demonic spirits, more wicked than itself. They go and live there, and the final condition of the person is worse than the first. It says this is how it will be for a wicked generation. Listen to me, young people. The enemy is always looking for one crack to creep back in. He's looking for one friendship. He's looking for one social media. He's looking for one moment, one Friday night that you're just going to be the designated driver. One time that you're just going to go and just, you know, just not be that lame Christian. Come on, relax. You're allowed to have fun. You're 18 years old. You're 17 years old. Live a little bit. Come on, just try. Just light up. You don't even have to do anything. You just have to be around it. You just have to entertain it. Come on, somebody. Why would you even be around it? The Bible says that it takes seven of its demonic friends, even more vicious than he is. This is why Ephesians 4:7, don't know what's going on with the lights, but Ephesians 4:7 says, do not give the devil a foothold. What area of your life have you given the enemy permission to come in? What foothold have you given him? What small thing have you compromised? Thank you. What small areas have you compromised in? What areas have you let down your guard? Come on, I'm talking to you tonight. Because the enemy will never let you go without a fight. But the good news is that Jesus is always up for the fight. It says the final condition of this person, when these seven demonic forces that come back, when these forces come back, the final condition is even worse. And this is how a lot of you feel. Some people begin to feel even worse after they find Jesus. This is heavy. Because you come and you said, Lord, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you my entire life. And then you let him down. And then you fell. You gave the enemy a foothold. And now you're walking back to the things that you said I'd never go back to. That's what you saw in this presentation tonight with Brittany. She got saved at an altar, gave her life to the Lord, had a radical time in the presence of God. But then the temptations of the world, the old friendships, the old life begin to come back in. They begin to feel worse than they ever did before. The Bible says these seven foul spirits, or these seven demonic spirits, begin to come in. These seven foul spirits, and they begin to taunt and torment. They come after you. And let me tell you the job of these seven foul spirits. These foul spirits tell you that you cannot make it. These seven foul spirits tell you that your encounter with God isn't real. These seven spirits tell you that you can't get up on your own. These seven foul spirits says you'll never be able to live a successful Christian life. The seven foul spirits tell you what you experienced with God was fake. The seven foul spirits tell you that it was all just emotion. What you experienced at camp wasn't real. They come with the lies of the father of lie and tell you you can't make it. But here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 24:16. It's amazing because Eric said it earlier. It says this, it's though the righteous may fall seven times, it says that they will rise again, or the Spirit of God will pick them up again. Here's what you need to know, is every time the enemy causes you to fall, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of grace picks you back up again. Every single demonic force that will come and try to keep you from the presence of God, that will come and try to keep you from the altar, that will come to try to keep you from righteousness, the Bible says that Jesus will pick you back up. Worship team, get out here as fast as you can. What stage are you on tonight? How many demonic things have come back to you? How many temptations of your past have come to you? How many different things have come to try to tell you your encounter with God wasn't real, that your experience with God, you weren't even baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're just making those words up. You don't need these Christian friends. You can make it on your own. This is for weak-minded people. Come on, we hear the same thing over and over, nonstop. The Bible calls them sheep because they're stupid, because people that go to church, I guess they're stupid. It's the same lies. It's the same attacks over and over and over. And the purpose of it is to knock you down and keep you staying down. But can I remind you of some of the greatest men that ever walked the face of the earth? That before Moses, before God uses Moses to deliver a people, he's murdering someone, falling down, falling in sin. David is getting a girl pregnant out of wedlock and then has her husband executed to cover it up, falling over and over, making mistakes. How about Peter, who says to God, I'll never deny you. Jesus, all these other jokers may deny you. Everybody else in my tribe, everybody else in the Elevate might deny you, but I'll never do it. And that very night, he's cursing people out because he's embarrassed of God. They begin to run away. Come on, Bam, begin to play. He began to run away. The Bible says that the disciples scattered. They scattered when Jesus died. Falling down over and over and over. Some of you might be in those different stages where you've fallen down. You've made mistakes. You've given in to temptation. But I came to tell you tonight that though you may fall, grace picks you up. Jesus picks you up. The Holy Spirit picks you up. Stand to your feet all over this place. I have a word for you tonight. I believe it's a word from God. I was praying for you. And I said, Lord, what do I tell them? And he gave me two things. The first was this. It's from Genesis 3. God reminded me that when the creeping things come in your life, that God cursed Satan to crawl on his belly
That's why the enemy wants you to fall, so you stay where he and the creeping things are. But watch, every time you get up, automatically the enemy is already under your feet. I had you stand up tonight. Come on, look at your feet right now. Because that's where shame is. Look at your feet. That's where your past is. Look at your feet. That's where sexual immorality is. Look at your feet. That's where that spirit of pornography is. Look at your feet. That's where yesterday is. Now I want you to look to heaven. Here's the second thing the Lord told me.
This is crazy.
Isn't it amazing how fast we can fall? Can we just be real for a second? Isn't it amazing? One day you could be doing so good. You could even say you are on fire. You love God. Come on, you're waking up. You're reading the Word. You're praying in the Holy Ghost. You're worshiping. You got Jesus culture bumping. You love God. And so fast, you can fall away. Have you ever all of a sudden just opened your eyes and said, how did I get so far from God? Have you ever all of a sudden realized that it's been weeks since you heard the voice of God? How did I get here? Watch, so fast. Here's what I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. He spoke to me through Luke chapter 16. It's a story of the prodigal son. The Bible says when he came to his senses, Father, I pray tonight we come to our senses. And he realized that he was away from his father. He said, I'm going to go back to my father. And the Bible says that when his father saw him coming at a distance, here's what he said. It's up on the screens. He said, tell them to go get the ring. Tell them to get the robe. He said, my son has come back. Watch this. This is what I heard the Holy Spirit say to me. He said, as fast as you fall is as fast as I pick you back up. Lift your hands to a holy God all over this place. Everyone is always consumed about how fast did I fall? How fast did you fall away from God? How did it happen so quick? Tonight, I got a word for you. You can come back to God so fast. In fact, when you come back to God, he's already waiting for you. When you come back to God, he's ready for you. He's ready to anoint you. He's ready to use you. He's ready to use his life for your glory. I don't care if you were in sin yesterday. I don't care if you were high yesterday. I don't care who you are sleeping with. I don't care what you are looking at. I want you to know today that as fast as you can get to this altar is as fast as you can get restored to your God. I'm not counting to three tonight. I want you to run down to this altar as fast as you can. Every single person that says, I need a right, get right with God. Every single person that says, Lord, I need to make you Lord of all. Every single person that would say tonight, Jesus, you've got to be Lord. Jesus, you have to be king. Come down to this altar as fast as you can and lift your hands to a holy God.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.